I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. Science Update listener Alan Dittrich of Wellesley, Massachusetts, called us with this question.
Why do shoelaces become loose after they're tied?
Dorian Raymer conducted knot research at the University of California, San Diego. He says the problem with shoelace bows is that they're terrible knots.
Sort of the purpose of tying a knot in the shoelace is so that later you can easily untie it without it being too difficult so that you can take your shoe off easily. It's pretty much made so that it's easy to come undone.
So they relax and fall apart from simple jostling. Fortunately, there are other shoelace knots like the double slip knot that are both secure and easy to tie. Visit scienceupdate.com for links to knot tying videos, and while you're there, send us your science question. If we use your question on the air, you'll win a Science Update mug. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
And Science Update, we're going to have that as one of our features, along with the native language modules in the mornings for the next several months. It's now 19 minutes after 8. I'm Maria Dudzak. I'm joined in the studio by Lee Skidmore, and we are going to talk about getting your garden prepped, I guess, getting things ready.
Yes.
Because it's that time?
It is. Yes, everything's coming up. First of all, I want to compliment Martha Jacobson, Loanne, and CJ on the previous gardening shows. They gave a lot of excellent information. There's a couple of things I intend to implement, and I have pages of notes on what they said. So I appreciate them.
You were sitting there with your gardening journal taking
notes?
Yes, I
was. Move that cilantro. Okay, CJ and Loanne talked about purchasing seeds and different varieties. Well, now that you've got your seeds or they're in the mail coming to you, it's time to do an inventory of what you're going to need to plant them all. You know, count your watering trays and the flats and the pots and the labels and the soil mix to be sure that when you get around to doing this, that you can just do what you plan to do that day so you don't have to stop, clean up, go to the store, come back, and start again. Once you lose your momentum, I think sometimes it's hard to get it back.
And when you have your trays from, say, last year and you're reusing them, do you need to clean them thoroughly? What do you need to do to prep them?
Well, I think it's a cup of Clorox to, I'm going to say 10 gallons. I'm not sure. But you need to do something so that you make sure all the eggs and the bugs and the slugs and stuff are gone. I just fill a big bin and stack them in there. I use hot water, let them sit till the water cools, take them out, rinse them off, and you're ready to go. You can do that with clay pots, plastic pots, your flats, watering trays, your garden tools, anything that you don't want to contaminate either with a disease or with eggs from something.
So basically bleach is your go-to?
Yeah, you can. Bleach is good. Vinegar is good. You know, it just depends on your heart and head, what they tell you to do. I think the vinegar is a bit more organic than Clorox, but they're both effective. Speaking of garden journals, it's a good time to start a garden journal so you can keep track of what you did when you planted your seeds and what was effective and you got produce and what was not effective so you can repeat and not repeat what you did.
With respect to seeds, and we didn't discuss this in this seed discussion last time, can you reuse seeds? I mean, some people, I guess, will plant ones that are left over from last year, so to speak, and other people say, no, you need to get new seeds. Do you have an opinion on that?
I never throw seeds away. I found seeds from 2003 and mixed them in with last year's seeds, especially basil seeds. I mixed them in and then just sprinkled them a little heavier than normal on the soil. I assume they came up. There were a lot more plants in each 4-inch pot than I expected. But, you can do a viability test on the seeds. You know, you take 10 and plant them, and then the percentage that probably will come up is, you can do that. But I think it's worth a try. And if it says comes up in 3 days and they're not up in 5, replant with fresher seeds. So, and, storing seeds is important. I put mine in wax paper and an envelope labeled and then store them in a metal box in the garage where it's dark and cool. And like I said, I just don't throw seeds away.
Okay.
And I do that with purchased seeds or seeds that I've saved from my yard. So, yeah. It's time to sand and paint hand tools or all your garden tools so they're smooth and you don't get splinters. I like neon yellow paint because you can see it. Also, I discovered glow-in-the-dark paint, and I plan to put stripes on my tool. So maybe, you know, if I realize at 10 o'clock that I left something out there, that I can shine the flashlight out, and the glow-in-the-dark paint will be as easy to see as the neon yellow. So I think that will be fun, and that's something that you could do with kids. So
have them help. And I think that is oftentimes that does happen where people lose their tools because they head inside or something and it's somewhere out there buried amongst the...
Well, and if your tool is shiny aluminum and it's covered in mud, you can't see it. And if my handles were black and so you can't see those, they get down in something and they're gone until everything dies back in the fall. But this way, boy, they just, it's like you can really see them. In my yard, the daffodils are up, the primroses are blooming, you know, things are budding out. It's time to watch for slugs and other pests and start your control, whether you use organic or diatomaceous earth or coffee grounds, crushed eggshells, whatever. It's time to, you know, keep those close at hand when you're out and around.
Is this early for these things to be popping up? This seems early, no?
No, I don't think. It. You know, it might be a couple weeks early, but I have primroses that bloom in February. I have a winter daphne that's just about to burst into bud. My daffodils are between 2 and 6 inches tall. So I think it's average. If we have a really cold snap, we may have problems, but... we just keep our fingers crossed and hope we don't have temperatures down in the low 20s.
Okay, and when you start seeing things coming up, is that when you get out your slug deterrents? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Slugs love daffodils. They'll crawl up the stems and the leaves and eat the bud. And so if you're going to have your yard full of daffodils, you just need to watch. So, and make sure that there's not debris around where it comes up out of the ground because they'll hide in there. It's time to clean up the strawberry beds. You can separate the strawberries, replant them. You can put them in, you know, make another bed. I save coffee grounds, and I sprinkle those around the strawberries after I've cleaned them up. That helps keep the slugs down. Plant some berries in hanging baskets. That's another way to deter slugs. A fun strawberry thing that I read about on Pinterest is to paint berry-sized rocks red with the dots and put the green leaves on them. And this lady said she painted them, put them around her strawberry plants, and that the birds pecked at the rocks. And then when the real berries were getting ripe, the birds didn't bother them. So
trick the birds early.
I love that idea.
And it's not too early to start separating your strawberry plants?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my plan. We sell strawberries at the plant sale in May, and I like for them to be nice big plants. And if it's a 4-inch pot, single plant. If it's a bigger, multiple plants. But yeah, it's time to just get out there and get dirty.
And do you put them, you put them in pots, do you then store them in a safer place, or are they just outside with everybody else?
They're out with the rest of the strawberries. I have French Alpine Everbearing, which I don't know where they came from, but they've survived everything and they multiply readily. So they just do well for me. Another thing, and this secret is from Lucille King, and she was a long, long-term garden member, is whenever the plants are full and they have those great big leaves up on top, is to trim those off so that the sun can shine on the berries, because the more sun, sweeter berries. It also helps the center of the plant dry out so it doesn't rot so easily. I think you've got a healthier plant if the center part isn't soggy.
So this is strawberries?
Strawberries.
And you're taking out the center leaves?
Well, you know, when you have a strawberry plant and the leaves are on long stems and they shade the plant, she taught me to just pick out four or five of the biggest ones so that sun gets down on the berries and in the, to the center of the plant. Otherwise, it always stays shaded. I think if the strawberries are in the sun, the slugs aren't going to bother them as much. But I'm not a slug, so I don't know. And your solar lights, if you have solar lights, it's time to take a look at those. We still have a lot of dark outside. So take them apart, wipe out the mold, the moss, the moisture that accumulates, lay them out, let them dry out, put them back together. Remember to turn off the on switch so that they have a chance to collect the sun's rays. Even on a day like this, they'll collect enough rays to last about 8 hours at night. Put them back together and put them back out in the yard.
And these are just for seeing
solar
on your
lights,
path?
Like around your path. Yeah, I put them in planters. So, I mean, as the plants come up, you've got light on them. You can see them. And I just like the look. Check your garden gloves for holes, cracks in that rubber part, and also your shoes. And sometimes you can repair your shoes with duct tape, or you may just need to toss them out and buy new garden shoes.
Do you have special garden shoes?
I like the Sloggers brand because they're decorated. Chickens and Sons, or paw prints, or puppies and kittens, just so they're pretty, I guess.
And they more like a slipper type of shoe? Or
they're kind of like a rain boot, but it's a low-cut rain boot, and it's got a very nice arch support and sole. They've got ridges on the bottom so they don't slip. The opening at the top is big enough that your foot, my foot, just slides right in. I have a pair by the front door, a pair by the back door, so I can just slip my feet in with socks on or barefoot and then just go. They're all rubber. You can wash them. They have the arch support pad that you could take out and sanitize and then put it back in and off you go. I got my first pair about 4 years ago, and it's faded a bit, but it's still no cracks, nothing.
And it's just because you're out in the mud and muck and you want special dedicated shoes, I guess, to that. Is that?
Well, if you wear your tennis shoes out there, and I like white tennis shoes, you get that muskeg color to them, and you can't wash that out. And I like for my feet to be dry. So I've gone to a garden shoe. So I guess it's just, I mean, it's my preference. So now while there's, you know, a few things are coming up, you can design a new planting bed. Decide, oh, there's space over there for hellebores or primroses or whatever. If you left your pots outside, you need to check them, remove the moss, fluff the soil, tilt them up and look under the bottom for slugs because they will hide under there all winter. You'll also find those little roly-poly bugs, those little pill bugs, and I just scoot those away and let them sit there because I don't think they do any damage to the plant. You can also decorate the containers. You can paint on them, stick things on them, you know, reflectors, whatever you have in mind, whatever you've got that you want to put outside, you can do. You can also start cleaning and organizing your greenhouse so it's all done when you're ready to start working out there. Most jobs, you know, if you do just a little bit at a time, it's not such a big deal. So when you've got, you know, the greenhouse walls to scrub and the floor to scrub, and if you didn't carefully put it away, you've got all the cleanup work to do plus get ready for the next planting. So and as you're working out there, if you know there's things that you use and your supply is low, get it on your shopping list so that next time you go to the hardware store, you can get whatever you need, whether it be insecticide or fertilizer or whatever.
Doing an inventory.
Just okay. Do your inventory, get it on your shopping list, and then when you go shopping, you can have all that stuff ready. And if your greenhouse is organized, or the area where you keep all your supplies, then you can just put it where you need it, put it at the back so the oldest stuff gets used first. You know, that FIFO thing, first in, first out. So, yeah, it's just like you would organize your kitchen, organize your garden stuff.
I wish I were so organized.
I do, too. I keep trying. If you have unwanted chemicals or chemicals that are have the warning or hazard or, you know, the skull and crossbones, I wish you would check with a landfill on how to dispose of those, whether they will accept them full or you have to use up all the stuff. But, it, you know, be responsible in getting rid of that stuff.
And I know they do have their hazardous waste clean-up time where you can bring things like that.
Which is in April.
Right. I don't know if they do have something, though, year-round. But
I don't either, but it's certainly worth a phone call. And I'm sure that the rest of us would appreciate everyone being responsible with their chemical, you know, leftover chemicals, because you don't want it to get in the water supply. You don't want it to get in the, you know, streams or wherever. So, yeah, be responsible is all I can say.
Okay.
Okay. Next, I use a lot of plant supports, whether they be tomato cages or specific supports for peonies or things that I just want the leaves to not lay on the ground. It's find them, repair them, sand them, paint them, so that whenever you need them for the peonies, you can just go get it and put it out. Because if you have to stop and, you know, find it, paint it, repair it, then you've wasted time. But this, if everything is ready to go when you walk out the door, you get a lot more done and you'll be happier.
And I imagine painting here, it takes a while to dry.
It does. But a lot of the paint nowadays is quick dry. And I, you know, in my garage, it dries instantly. I just usually put like the tomato cages in a big cardboard box and spray and leave them in the box until they dry. Flip them over, spray the other side, and then they're ready to go. And, you know, I think I might do yellow or purple this year for plant supports, just so that it's different. And when you see bits of purple shining through your vine, you think, oh, maybe that's a flower. So it's, and it just, it adds just a little bit more pizzazz to the garden.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's, you know, find the hummingbird feeders. Make sure they're all clean and shiny and dig out any guck that spent the winter hibernating in there. And use vinegar to clean them out, not like, you know, some of the glass cleaner things. If you have to scrub, use salt so that you don't leave chemical residue in the container for the birds. It's no longer recommended that you use food coloring. I use beet juice, because it's bright red, and you could probably use any, you know, like pomegranate juice or cherry juice. But the beet, it's not sweet, so it doesn't ferment, and it's got a purple tint to it that I like. So it's time to do all of that. And if you had a lot of hummingbirds last year, maybe you add a few more hummingbird feeders, separate them from you know, some so that the birds don't fight as much. So, and the same way with your birdhouses. It's time to take them down, clean them out, repair them if they need to be painted, or if you just want to add some bling to them, whether it's reflectors or those half glass marbles, or if you found little clay garden pots or watering cans, you got the aluminum ones, stick them on there. You know, fancy them up. I don't know that the birds care, but I think it's fun to do that. And another thing, you can get kids involved with that. You can have kids paint the birdhouse. You know, use non-toxic paints and just let them go to town. Walmart usually has kits that little kids can put together. I think they use glue, and then there's non-toxic paint, and it's just, it's a fun thing for the kids to do, I think, you know. If I had little kids around, I'd get them to do it all the time. But
well, it sounds like you have fun doing it.
I have fun doing it. I do. I love to decorate the garden. You know, something as simple as stringing plastic beads on the metal hangers on your wooden hanging baskets. If I know I'm going to put strawberries in there, I'll use red, white, and green beads so that it matches the plants. If I do the hellebores in there, then I don't want the red and green. I want lavender and purple or whatever color is going to go in there. I like to, you know, you can paint the wooden pots that you get at the nursery. You don't even have to sand them. Just paint them until you cover up as much as you want. Give it that shabby chic look. So you can also spray paint those wire hangers.
So it's a chance to fancy up your garden if desired.
Well, and it's a very inexpensive way. Everybody has leftover paint from something, and you can use that. If you have other garden art that needs to be repaired, do it now when you have time. You know, you don't have to always be outside to do your garden work. You can bring, I have some big bug-shaped things that are starting to rust, so it's time to sand off the rust and get the paint. They were flat black, but I think I'm going to paint them shiny black so that I can then put maybe some reflectors on them, just so that when I look out, I see my bugs and my alligator and my big peacock, and just because when the flowers are gone, but there's still that color out there. You sit there, shake your head, yes.
adding something extra.
Just adding something to it, yeah.
For those times when you don't have things blooming.
Right.
When
the neighbor's little kids are over, they run around and look for whatever is bright and shiny. And you can say, well, there's a bug out there. It's with the rose, or it's with the primrose. And they know, oh, primrose, peacock. So just, you know, fun little things to do. That moss that grows everywhere, and then that black slimy stuff. I don't know what that's, excuse me, I don't know what that stuff is called, but it's slippery. So I drug out the pressure washer, because I think if I get it now, it'll take a couple hours to wash off the stepping stones and the steps and the pathways and the bricks and get rid of that. And then April, when it's time to do a thorough and clean the deck and the railing and all of those, it won't be such a big job to scrub that stuff off.
And I want to let folks know, if you have some tips that you'd like to share, or you have some questions, you can give us a call. We probably have about 15 minutes left. 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. If you have some tips for getting your garden ready, or if you have some questions.
I'd love to answer some questions and to find out what others are doing outside right now. Hoses. It's time to check the hoses so that when it comes time to water, hose things off, that you have hoses that work and the brass end pieces are still round. They didn't get stepped on or run over, and that they can be repaired or they can be replaced. I got last year those scrunchy kind of hoses that when you fill them up with water, they spread out. You let the water drain out, and they 100-foot hose will fit in a gallon Ziploc bag.
It's kind of like an accordion.
It's kind of like an accordion. And I hope I got some at Christmas. I hope the next generation of those is better quality than the previous ones. But they're so easy to use. These are black, so they're going to need some kind of decoration. So if I leave them out after the water drains out, and there's this just little tiny pile of black that I can go out and find them. But they're easy to use. You can connect them together. They're like a regular big rubber hose. They don't kink. They don't twist. So far, mine haven't, even being run over a couple times, don't have holes in them. So, you know, if you need a new hose, try one of those, because I like them a lot.
Well, it sounds like it's also helpful if you have a big yard, you'll have this fairly long hose.
They come in the same lengths as the rubber hoses, but I think I'm a pretty strong person, but to drag 150 feet of rubber hose is hefty, and then to get it all rolled back up. And if you get a kink in it or it twists and you have to undo that, you've got all that weight to be dragging back and forth. And with these, I guess they're kind of a fabric something or other. Maybe they're polyester. If you have to carry it back and forth, I mean, you can carry it in one hand, which is amazing. 100 feet of hose in one hand. I think you get almost as much water pressure with those as you do with the rubber hoses. Check the nozzles that you use. It might be time to buy a new one. If you use a sprinkler, check to make sure that all the holes are still working. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to do out there. And a lot of it is, at this time, going to be quick and easy, where if it's piled on, oh, you bought plants, you bought bulbs, you know, it piles up and it's no fun going out and having to spend all day when you can do little things to make spring easier. We did the hoses.
Checking your lists.
Yeah, I'm going to run out of things here pretty quick if nobody calls and asks a question. The wheelbarrow. I never thought about the wheelbarrow. It sits with water in it all winter. Well, it's a metal bowl thing. It's going to need to be sanded and painted inside and out with some kind of a rust preventative. Again, let somebody decorate it. Put flowers on it, whatever they are good at drawing or painting. Repair and inflate the tires. Tighten all the bolts.
The wheelbarrow gets forgotten.
It does. I never thought about it. You know, it's a couple of years ago, I thought, oh, it's got holes in the bottom. It's rusted through. And I never thought, well, you left it out in the rain all winter. But this way, it should preserve the metal ones more. I don't know if most wheelbarrows now are metal or plastic, but and mine's one of those big three-wheeled, four-wheeled things that I would hate to have to pay to replace right now. Then you've got the barbecue. If you left it out all winter, you're going to need to check everything. And you can get barbecue spray paint so you can repaint it. The only color I've seen is black, but if it's rusting because you left it out, you can sand it and repaint it so it looks like a brand new barbecue. The same way with your outdoor furniture. I have some wooden pieces that are just too big to move around, so they need to be re-glued, tightened, sanded because I don't like splinters. So you can do all of that. You can wash the curtains or the cushions. You can make new cushions. You can paint. You can get, I don't know, Krylon plastic paint and paint your plastic furniture. So make it a different color this year, which I'm excited about spring. Can you tell?
Sounds like you have a lot of work ahead.
I don't have to do all of these things, but a lot of them I really need to think about. You can make yard art now. You know, for a while, the big thing in yard art was gluing glass plates together to make them look like flowers to put different places in the yard. That's fun to do. And I used salt and pepper shakers glued to the back to put a stake in, and the half-inch stake fit perfectly in the salt and pepper shakers that I had. And so I have glass flowers that will probably need to, you know, soak a bit, get cleaned up, put them out so that when the sun shines through, it sparkles like glass. But it's, and the more, the cut glass plates are just really, really beautiful. And you can do colors, you can do all blue. I've seen where somebody has taken a cheap glass vase and a punch bowl and made mushrooms for their yard, which I would love to do. I have a punch bowl and it's over 100 years old, but
probably don't want to use that
one. I don't think I'll use that one, but I keep looking at the thrift stores for punch bowls because I think that would be really unique to have my glass mushrooms in one corner. So, yeah. I know a lot of people can't wait for things to bloom, so they're buying silk flowers and putting them in their annuals that, you know, have stayed with leaves, like your rhodies. If you need flowers right now, I know people that are buying especially white, like carnations or roses, and sticking them in there close inside so it looks like the plant has flowers. I know. I thought, But anyway, they are pretty. And until you get right up to them, sometimes you can't tell. So.
Well, that actually could be a tip. If your garden just isn't quite taking off as you want, you can
do something like that. Right. We used to tease the kids that way. we would plant tomatoes, little tomatoes, one day, and we'd put them to bed. Then we'd go out and plant bigger tomatoes with tomatoes on them. So they came out the next morning. Look how big the tomatoes got. Oh, they've got tomatoes on them already. And kids like to do that. I know Luann was doing a garden club for the students at Houtling. I don't know since she's retired if she still is, but, you know, kids love that. You know, bulbs are going to be in soon, and it's time to think about planting more bulbs, putting them in containers. You know, where's your bulb planter? Where's your fertilizer? Where's the scoop so that you can do it quickly? Kids love to do that. So do big people, but... the planter boxes, and if you have wooden planter boxes, you might need to do some repair with those. If you have containers, you can change the color. You can put flowers on, paint flowers on them, paint snails or bugs, or you can put handprints. Or if you use this edge of your hand, you know, the flat side down, it looks like a little baby's foot. And then you use your fingertip to make little toes on the top, make feet print all over everywhere. I know a lot of people have been talking about on their garages and workshops and sheds, painting those so that it looks more like what you see in the magazines, stripes and polka dots, and making it more like a little tea house out there. So, yeah, there's all kinds of fun things that you can do. You can also think about cleaning the gutters, which I don't do that, but I hire somebody. But it is, you know, that's something you need to think about. If you didn't do it in the fall when all the leaves were down, it's probably time to go check to see if you need to do it again. You know, use all caution. Don't go up when there's nobody else at home. Do all of that. If you're on a ladder, make sure there's somebody on the ground helping to hold the ladder. Caution. You've got rock walls or stacked stone walls or brick walls or pavers that may need to be restacked, more sand or gravel behind them. If your stepping stones are unlevel at this point because of rain, it's time to work on those, which means buying sand and doing all of that stuff again. But you can, you know, there's just a ton of stuff. If you take your notepad and go out and walk around in your garden and make notes as to what you see that you would like to change or that must be changed, you'll get a lot of stuff done this spring. You know, look for puddles, look where the rain has washed away your mulch, and work on that. Make sure that, like your maple trees, the mulch isn't right up against the bark because you don't want it to cause the bark of the plant to mold. It's time to trim hellebores. I learned last year that people cut away all the leaves and just leave the heart of the plant, and then what you see is all the flowers coming up, and you don't see all the damaged leaves that spent the winter outside. So it's just, and you know, Google specific jobs, get a book.
It sounds like also magazines and books and things,
yes,
can give you ideas.
Yes. There's several. You know, Garden Gate is the one that I like. There's Birds and Blooms. Just, you know, buy one and look at it and see what in there applies to you. Birds and Bloom, I think, is published in Canada, and I think its content is more applicable to us than, like, Western Sunset magazine because it's
more
California kind of information. And get a seed catalog. You can order them online. You can call and ask about them. And then just take your time perusing, shopping, and preparing.
Okay. And it does sound like lots of opportunities to prepare right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Well, we actually are out of time.
Oh, perfect.
So thank you very much, Lee, for being here and giving us some tips. And we will check in with you on other topics.
May I?
Sure.
Monday, February 15th at the library at 6:30 is Garden Club, and we'll be talking about hellebores, holly, and winter blooming Daphne bushes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Again, that's Lee Skidmore, and we're going to head over to a couple of announcements, and the engines of our ingenuity. I was trying to think of how do I properly pronounce that.
KRBD programming is brought to you by Hummingbird Services, general contractors offering cleaning for carpet, upholstery, and ducts, 24-hour emergency response, and janitorial services. Hummingbird Services, neighbors helping neighbors since 2000. 225-3686.
This is the Engines of Our Ingenuity, made possible by GDF Suez, a global provider of electricity and natural gas.
Today we face the anger of a woman who's been erased. The University of Houston's College of Engineering presents this series about the machines that make our civilization run and the people whose ingenuity created them. A while back, I did a program on Arabella Buckley, who wrote a perfectly lovely and important set of 19th century books on science for young people. A few months later, I was called to lecture at a conference in Brighton, England, Arabella Buckley's hometown. While I was there, I combed Brighton for traces of Buckley. I talked to librarians, booksellers, and City Hall. No one had ever heard of her. It was as though she had never been. It turns out that's a familiar story. All kinds of women scientists had made huge contributions in the 19th century and then were subtly erased. Stephen Jay Gould offers an essay, The Invisible Woman. First, he recites names of solid scientists, women who discovered fossils and did fine biological illustration. Then he opens a book by Mary Roberts, written in 1834.